Good group up here this morning. Oh, they're still coming. Okay. All right, y'all come on up and find a place to sit. Here you go, Trey. I'm going to let you hold that. Appreciate it. He just looks so natural up there, doesn't he? Okay. All right, how are y'all? Okay, well now, y'all see, hear what Trey's holding? He is holding for me, here, let me give it back now. Okay, he is holding this white board. It's a marker board, right? Y'all seen these? Your teacher use them at school or here in Sunday school? Okay, he's holding a marker board for me, and it's nice and clean and white. But I want to ask y'all something. What are some things that we can do that are wrong? Some things, maybe... What could Trey have done that might have been wrong? What's something that's wrong to do? Anybody? How about if Trey stole something, if he took something that wasn't his? Would that have been wrong? It would have? Okay, well, could you do something for me? Could you go up and just scribble on that whiteboard for me a little bit? Just go ahead and, yeah, just scribble all over it. There you go. All right, that's good. Thank you. All right, what's something else Trey could have done that was wrong? What's something else? What about if maybe Trey told a lie, if he said something that wasn't true? Would that have been wrong? Right? Could you make a scribble on there for me for Trey telling a lie? He's not a nice boy. Okay, what about if Trey... Wow, okay, y'all sit down. What if maybe Trey disobeyed his parents? If Trey disobeyed his mama, would that have been wrong? Yeah, could you maybe mark on there? Just go and scribble on there for me. Okay, what's something else Trey could have done? Anything else? Maybe if Trey hit his sister, would that have been wrong? I know his sisters, they'd have hit back. But would that have been wrong if he'd hit his sister? Could you scribble? Ahead. Just mark on there for me. Okay, now, what's happened to this nice white board that I had? What's it look like now? It's all dirty. It's got black marks all over it, right? Well, did you know that when God looks at us, when He sees us, then He sees all those things that we did that's wrong, that aren't nice, the sins that we do when we disobey or when we lie or when we hit somebody, all those things God sees, and they're ugly little black marks just like this right here. But God can take care of those for us. Did you know that when we go to God and we ask for forgiveness, when we say we're sorry for those things, then He can take an eraser just like this and just wipe all of those things out just like they weren't ever there. And now what's happened to our board? It's clean again. It's nice and white and pretty again. And God can do that for everybody. All we have to do is go to Him and say, God, I'm sorry. I know I was wrong. But I want you to forgive me. And God can take all those things clean off of there and leave us with a nice white board again. Did y'all know He could do that? All right. Well, let's have us a word of prayer and then y'all can go to class. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for these young people that we have here. And I thank You for just blessing us with all of these kids and for giving us the responsibility to teach them and help them to learn and to follow after You with their lives, Lord. And just impress upon us the need to teach and to disciple these kids, to lead them to You, Lord. And I pray that You'll be with us as we go through the service, Lord, and be with Trey as he brings a message that we could take Your words from it, Lord. Thank You for all You've done for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
All right. Ms. Barling has our special this morning.
I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross. I believe that this life with its great mysteries surely someday will come to an end. Oh, but faith will conquer the darkness and death, and will lead me at last to my friend. I believe that the Christ who was slain on the cross has the power to change lives today. For he changed me completely. A new life is mine. That is why by the cross I will stay. I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. I believe whatever the cost, and when time has surrendered and earth is no more, I'll still cling to that old rugged cross.
Thank you, Marlene, for that beautiful special. And I hope and pray that every one of us in this congregation believes in that, what Christ done on Mount Calvary. In the absence of our pastor this morning, we have someone that I'm sure needs no introduction. Brother Trey's going to fill in for him this time. I'm going to turn the service over to him, let him close as he sees fit.
Good morning. As you're opening your Bibles this morning to Luke 14, I wanted to talk about a little bit what went on at camp this week. Very exciting week, and I thought we might have some campers wanted to talk this morning, but I'll give them that opportunity tonight. Something that happened in our cabin, the boys' cabin, we had four guys saved in our one cabin. And I was thinking about what I could tell about camp, and Thursday night we had a testimonial time, and one of the guys from Shibley, was it Shibley Baptist? Don't remember where that was. Van Buren, Arkansas. One of the boys from Shibley that was saved, he gave his testimony Thursday night, and it hit me, and I was thinking to myself, you know, he's got a point. He was talking about how he had went through Hurricane Katrina, and he had nobody to thank for helping him live through it. And the way he described it and everything, it was a very scary situation. And he didn't have a purpose for living. He didn't know why he had survived it. But he had survived it. And, you know, Thursday night was the night he was saved. And he said, now I know who to thank for getting me through Hurricane Katrina. And what I'm living for is to get me to this point. And not only this point, but now to go out and be thankful for everything God blesses me in my life with. And to hear that testimony made the whole week worth it. I'm telling you, my cup is to the top this morning. I'm ready to go. Not only did that happen, but I got there Monday morning, and they said, in the absence of one of the pastors, would you be willing to speak and bring one of the morning devotions? I said, you bet. Somewhere I've been going my whole life, and to get to speak there, what a privilege. But one of the thing I spoke on while I was there is to stay focused. Stay focused in the theme was boot camp. And to stay focused in this Christian battle, when we leave church camp, stay focused on what's going on. And this morning, I'm going to speak on, there's no excuses to not stay focused. There's no excuses to get away from what God's got us to do. And in Luke 14, verse 16 is where I'm going to begin reading. We'll find an interesting parable. It says, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must need go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought five yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house began, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out unto the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. That's where I'm going to stop. And I want to look at the first guy here this morning. He said, I just bought a piece of land. I'm going to survey it. I'm going to look at it. We begin to find a foolish man. This is dinner time, and of course, dinner time, it's dark outside. That's number one, Mr. Fool. He is going to survey a piece of land in the dark. It's not real smart. Second point on how he's a fool. Who buys a piece of land before they've looked at it? You just don't do it. It's just an excuse to get away from having to do something that God wants you to do. Having wealth and everything is a great blessing. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes between you and God, it's ridiculous. When you are dealing with God, wealth is nothing. If you want a wealthy life, invest in God. God is where life comes from. Here we see a man, he's trying to get wealthy. He's trying to look wealthy. Land and cattle and everything in those days was a sign of being wealthy. But, you know, it doesn't say that he was wealthy. He was trying to look wealthy. It's two different things, looking wealthy and being wealthy. See, I'm a wealthy guy because I've got God. I've got Him as my Savior. And I've got Him in my life, and He fills my life more abundantly. I'm a wealthy guy. I don't mean to brag, but I am. And I was thinking, you know, what are some excuses that go with this? A lot of times we see people that say, well, I don't have everything I need to fully serve God. Or, let me find a job, let me settle down, and then I'll get in God. I'll get in the church and be active. No. It reminds me of David and Goliath. He takes his slingshot up, and he's ready to battle David. And Saul says, no, let me put this armor on you. Let me equip you. Let me give you what you need to fight. And he puts it all on. I mean, we're not just talking about any armor. This is the king's armor. This is Saul himself. It's his armor. But David says, no, I haven't proven this. This isn't going to help me. You see, when God gives you instruction to do something, He's not going to give you more than you can bear. He's going to give you exactly what you can handle with what you've come with. He's going to use you and what you have to glorify Him. You know, it's just amazing to me to see me, Trey Emery. You know, I took this step of faith in February, and I said, I'm going to preach. My first sermon, I listened to it the other day, and I said, I said it over and over again. I don't see how you stayed awake, but thank you for it. But God has equipped me and allowed me to speak. God has took Trey Emery as I am and given me the position as a preacher. You know, it doesn't matter what God gives you in your life. And I'm not saying He's going to call each and every one of you to preach, but there is something He wants you to do. And you are equipped for that right now. The next guy we look at, he says, I bought some ox. I'm going out and I'm going to prove them. Foolish man, who plows in the dark? Those are going to be some crooked roads. And I've seen a few fields. I wonder if they plowed them in the dark because they are just weaving in and out. And work, I'm not saying don't let work come in the way of church. In a way I am. But if it's the way that you're providing for your family, you need to do it. But if it's work that can be put aside, work that can wait, definitely should not interfere with your relationship with God and getting in church and doing what you're supposed to be doing. He's given you this life, and you should give Him back your life. If you're really concerned with having time for God, He's going to give it to you. I'm reminded of Mr. Bruce wanting to come to revival last year, and he had to work. He got laid off, but God gave him time to serve with God. You know, I was thinking about how work interferes with our spiritual relationship. I've asked people before, why do you talk like that at work? Or why are you so different at work than you are at church? A lot of people don't realize that we're supposed to live a Christian life outside of here. And I've heard people give the excuse, well, I'm not at church, I'm at work. We are given a life as God's children, and we are supposed to live that life every day outside of this church, outside of this community, outside of this town. It doesn't matter. I'm a child of my mama, that'll never change. I'm a child of God, and that will never change. Next, this guy, I couldn't wait to get to this one. He said, I just got married. I can't go. That's a funny guy to me. I can't speak on it really good yet, but I can imagine it. We see this guy just got married, and he's already on a leash, so to speak. You know, you think that a guy in our day and time, a guy like this would be about tired of burnt casseroles and macaroni and cheese. He'd be ready to go to a good supper. And who turns down a free meal when you're just married? My mom has taught me never to turn down a free meal. And I'm only in college. Another fine example of a fool. If our spouse or if anybody in life is telling us something different than what God's telling us to do, it's time to stop listening. it's time to start listening to the will of God. God's telling a servant, no matter what, he's telling you to do something. And if people are getting in the way, and I'm not just saying your spouse, and I'm not saying let go of your spouse, but get around those people and show them what God's will for your life is. And encourage your spouse or those people to go along with you. I've heard the excuse on the point of people getting in the way of God. I've heard the excuse, well, my parents made me go to church as a kid, and I'm just tired of it. I'm ready to get away from that. My mama made me get a bath. My mama made me brush my teeth. My mama made me eat my meal. And I ain't stopped doing that yet. You see, your parents saw it vital to have you in church. And that's why you still do it. Your Heavenly Father needs that relationship with you to be actively involved in a church. That's why you should still do it. It's a cleansing to come and hear the Word of God speak. I said, you know, I haven't stopped taking a bath, and I hope you haven't either. You need this. You need God's Word preached to you every Sunday, and you need to be reading the Word more than every Sunday and giving your life to God to be cleansed of what you are dealing with in your life. You know, God offers us life, and I keep saying that, but it's dumb to me to see people making these excuses, because not only is He giving you life, but He's giving you a pardon for sins, peace for life, love for you, life more abundant, light in the darkness, power and strength to keep going on. It's something you should want. You know, I really find it cool that God uses this illustration of supper time. It's dark outside. What you're doing, the excuses you're making, is sin. It's dark. And God is trying to give you light out of that dark. You should be willing to accept it. We shouldn't sit back and weigh the options. Weigh, well, wealth and work and love for people. I have such a good life. No, God says, here's life. I'm giving it to you. Let's go to Him and find what life really is. He isn't saying, come raise $100 million for this church. That's my will for you. Sounded like Joel Osteen. That's what I want you to do. No, He's saying, come be my servant, and I won't give you something that you can't bear. In Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we see it, and the only reason I'm turning over here is because I don't want to misquote it. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This is a gift. You know, I was thinking about that on the way to church. Sometimes gifts are very easy to accept. They're so easy to accept because we know we're giving them a gift, and maybe in some way you think they owe it to you. There is nothing you can give to God big enough for an exchange. The life He's given you, the salvation He's given you, the Savior He is too great for you to ever pay for in any way. And that's the hardest part, is accepting that free gift. But it's more than I had. It's more than I'll ever have. Why not accept it? You know, you keep talking about life, Trey. Why do you keep saying that? I'll tell you a simple verse that I read this morning. I was just thinking about it. And it tells me exactly what I'm trying to say. Jesus saith unto him in John 14:6, says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. You think you've got life right now? You think everything in life is going my way? You don't know what life is until you put it in God's hands. That's where life is. He says, I am the truth. I am the way. There's no direction in life you can go that can give you the life God's wanting you to have except that way. You know, I think about Christ. He said, you know, God, if this is my cup, I'm going to drink it. There is a cup waiting for you. There is a cross ready for you to bear. God's waiting on you to grab a hold of it, to drink it, to take it, to accept it. As the musicians come, I want to tell you this morning. Salvation is something you have to accept to find life. Also, if you are saved and you can't figure out why the world is crashing down on you and it seems that nobody else is having a problem, God is waiting for you. It was in our Sunday school lesson this morning, to submit yourself to Him. To give your life to Him to find life.
Hymn number 377. Let's all stand.